Hello, and welcome to our program, Technology and Arts, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Harsh Madike, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Time, CNN, and Reuters here on Owl Radio. The first article from Time Magazine is called "The Writers' Strike is Taking a Stand on AI" by Simone Shaw, updated May 4th, 2023. The last time the Writers Guild of America went on strike, in 2007, workers pushed back against the nascent streaming industry, advocating for higher residual payments for content released over streaming. Now, a new technology, artificial intelligence, stands to drastically change Hollywood again as the guild strikers return to the picket line. Streaming giants like Hulu, Netflix, and Disney Plus have come to dominate the industry, changing the models by which content is produced and distributed, and making it increasingly difficult for writers to earn sustainable income. And as the artificial intelligence technology rapidly improves, the Writers Guild of America aims to place limits on the use of AI in movies and TV scripts. The Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, the AMPTP, which is negotiating the contract on behalf of Hollywood studios, streamers, and production companies, say their priority is the, quote, long-term health and stability of the industry, and they are dedicated to reaching, quote, a fair and reasonable agreement, end quote, according to the Associated Press. AI raises hard, important, creative, and legal questions for everyone, the AMPTP said in an email statement to Time. It's something that requires a lot more discussion, which we've committed to doing. The Writers Guild of America proposed regulations around the use of AI to create source material and write or rewrite literary material. A negotiations proposal chart released by the Writers Guild of America on Monday shows that the AMPTP rejected the proposal, instead countering with annual meetings to discuss advancements in technology. The battle over AI is just one aspect of the union's demands around ensuring fair compensation in the streaming age. The guild's top priorities are fighting for increased compensation and residuals. But any limits on AI technology, or lack thereof, have the possibility to impact the future of the industry for decades to come, especially as tools powered by artificial intelligence becomes increasingly commercialized. Politically, we are at the precipice of when AI technology will be institutionalized, says Alex Hanna, director of research at the Distributed AI Research Institute. Once they are institutionalized, it's hard to get rid of it. Though AI technology is not new, it has rapidly become mainstream as companies push to adopt the technology. We're seeing a rapid push to release these systems into commercial use, often without very much pre-testing or evaluation of whether they even work as planned, says Sarah Myers West, managing director of the AI Now Institute. The commercial adoption is raising questions across sectors about the potential for job cuts. It's not so much about what AI is going to do, but what companies are going to use AI to justify, says Myers West. Studios could have fewer people in the writer's room, with generative AI writing content that is later edited by a writer. They could use AI to create a first draft and then bring in someone else to do a second draft, and that devalues their work by not having them do the whole process, says Myers West. Experts say that the technology is not yet advanced enough to replace a writer entirely, but it could reduce a creative practice into something akin to copywriting. AI isn't necessarily going to replace the job, but it would make it more mundane, says Myers West. In recent months, creatives across industries have been sounding the alarm on the encroachment of artificial intelligence. Many artificial intelligence systems use the work of creatives to teach the tools to generate something similar, raising concerns about intellectual property. The Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, released a statement in March, requiring the bargaining of use of artificial intelligence to simulate an actor's performance, noting that, quote, human creators are the foundation of the creative industries, and we must ensure that they are respected and paid for their work. And just a week after the Universal Music Group asked services to prevent AI companies from scraping music to create imitations, an AI-created collaboration between Drake and The Weeknd fooled the internet. Though the Writers Guild of America is one of the first creative labor unions to take on AI, it's likely to be joined by others soon. I imagine we'll see more of this in fields like journalism or graphic design, positions that could be automated with intense human correction afterwards, says Hannah. The next article is called White House Announces AI Initiatives Ahead of Meeting with Top Tech CEOs from Time Magazine by Matt O'Brien and Josh Boak, May 4th, 2023. Vice President Kamala Harris will meet on Thursday with the CEOs of four major companies developing artificial intelligence as the Biden administration rolls out a set of initiatives meant to ensure the rapidly evolving technology improves lives without putting people's rights and safety at risk. The Democratic administration plans to announce an investment of $140 million to establish seven new AI research institutes, administration officials told reporters in previewing the effort. In addition, the White House Office of Management and Budget is expected to issue guidance in the next few months on how federal agencies can use AI tools. There will also be an independent commitment by top AI developers to participate in a public evaluation of their systems in August at the Las Vegas Hacker Convention, DEF CON. Harris and administration officials on Thursday plan to discuss the risks they see in current AI development with the CEOs of Alphabet, Anthropic, Microsoft, and OpenAI. The government leaders' message to the companies is that they have a role to play in reducing the risks and that they can work together with the government. President Joe Biden noted last month that AI can help to address disease and climate change, but also could harm national security and disrupt the economy in destabilizing ways. The release of the ChatGPT chatbot this year has led to increased debate about AI and the government's role with the technology. Because AI can generate human-like writing and fake images, there are ethical and societal concerns. OpenAI, which developed ChatGPT, has been secretive about the data its AI systems have been trained upon. That makes it hard for those outside the company to understand why ChatGPT is producing biased or false answers to some requests, or to address concerns about whether it's stealing from copyrighted works. Companies worried about being liable for something in their training data might also not have incentives to properly track it, says Margaret Mitchell, the chief ethics scientist at AI startup Hugging Face. I think it might not be possible for OpenAI to actually detail all of its training data at a level of detail that would be really useful in terms of some of the concerns around consent and privacy and licensing, Mitchell said in an interview Tuesday. From what I know of tech culture, that just isn't done. Theoretically, at least, some kind of disclosure law could force AI providers to open their systems to a third-party scrutiny. But with AI systems being built atop previous models, it won't be easy for companies to provide greater transparency after the fact. I think it's really going to be up to the governments to decide whether this means that you have to trash all the work you've done or not, Mitchell said. Of course, I imagine that at least in the US, the decisions will lean towards the corporations and be supportive of the fact that it's already been done. It would have such massive ramifications if all these companies had to essentially trash all of this work and start over. The next article is called Apple Loses Bid to Revive US Copyright Claims Over iOS Simulation from Reuters by Blake Brittain, May 8th, 2023. Apple Inc. on Monday failed to convince a U.S. appeals court that the security startup Corellium infringed on its copyrights by simulating the iOS operating system to help researchers find security flaws in Apple devices. The 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said that Corellium lawfully recreated Apple's system under the U.S. copyright doctrine of fair use and furthered scientific progress by aiding important security research. Representatives for the companies did not immediately respond to requests for comment on the decision. Florida-based Corellium's software allows users to run iOS on non-Apple devices and inspect and modify the operating system in ways that allow security researchers to search for vulnerabilities more effectively. Apple sued Corellium for copyright infringement in South Florida federal court in 2019. Apple unsuccessfully tried to buy Corellium for nearly $23 million before filing the lawsuit, the appeals court said. The district court dismissed Apple's claims over Corellium's iOS simulator in 2020. Apple appealed in 2021. The 11th Circuit agreed that Corellium made fair use of iOS on Monday and said that Corellium software adds new features that help security researchers do their work in a way that physical iPhones just can't. The appeals court rejected Apple's arguments that Corellium simply repackaged iOS in a different format for profit, harming Apple's market for its operating system and security research programs. Corellium, quote, opened the door for deeper security research into operating systems like iOS, the circuit court said. The appeals court sent the case back to the district court to consider if Corellium infringed copyrights covering Apple's icons and wallpapers or contributed to infringement by third parties. The next article is called Student Eats Artwork of a Banana Duct Taped to a Museum Wall Because, quote, he was hungry. From CNN, written by Yoon Jung Seo in Seoul, South Korea. Updated May 1st, 2023. For some, the chance to see a banana duct taped to a wall is to be within touching distance of a sensational moment in recent art history. For others, it's an enticing snack. On Thursday, an art student from Seoul National University found it to be the latter when he removed the fruit, an iconic work by Italian artist Maurizio Catalan, from off a wall at the Liam Museum of Art in Seoul, South Korea, where it was displayed. Then he proceeded to devour it. The student told the museum he ate it because he was hungry, a museum spokesperson told CNN in a phone call. Entitled Comedian, the artwork became one of the art world's biggest viral moments when it sold for $120,000 at the Art Basel Miami Beach in December of 2019. Two other editions of the piece also sold at the fair. After chomping down on the fruit, the student taped the banana peel back onto the wall. The peel was later replaced by the museum with a fresh banana. Quote, it happened suddenly, so no special action was taken. The artist, Catalan, was informed of the incident, but he didn't have any reaction to it, the museum spokesperson added. The work is part of Catalan's solo exhibition, We, that is currently running at the Seoul-based museum until July 16th. The banana itself is regularly swapped out every 2 to 3 days, and is not for sale. Catalan is known for satirical pieces that challenge popular culture, often provoking debates around conceptual art. This wasn't the first time that someone thought the artwork was ripe for picking. After the first edition of Comedian sold back in 2019, the performance artist David Datuna unceremoniously plucked the banana on display at the Perrotin Gallery at the Art Basel in Miami and gobbled it up as stunned onlookers watched. Datuna relished in this stunt, posting to Instagram at the time saying, Quote, "I really love this installation. It's very delicious." Later, he defended the act, calling it an art performance at a press conference and not an act of vandalism. Prior to the headline-making sale of the artwork, Ferritin told CNN, "The bananas are a symbol of global trade, a double entendre, as well as a classic device for humor." Adding that Catalan turns mundane objects into vehicles of both delight and critique. The artist did not provide any potential buyers with instructions on what to do when the artwork starts to decompose. The artwork is also embroiled in a copyright battle. In 2022, Joe Morford, an artist from Glendale, California, alleged that Catalan plagiarized his own 2000 artwork called Banana and Orange, which sees the titular fruits affixed with duct tape onto the painted green backgrounds on a wall. According to court documents, Morford, who is representing himself, had registered the artwork with the U.S. Copyright Office and posted the work on his website, Facebook, and YouTube accounts long before Catalan created Comedian. Catalan's lawyers have argued that Morford has no valid copyright to the elements of the artwork, the banana and duct tape stuck against a wall. Another one of Catalan's viral artworks was a solid 18-karat gold toilet entitled America, valued at around $6 million. It had first been installed at New York's Guggenheim in 2016 and was open to use by visitors. Later in 2019, it was stolen from the birthplace of Winston Churchill at Blenheim Palace in England, where it was being exhibited. It has never been found since. The next article is called "Judge Rules Against Google and Allows Antitrust Case to Proceed." Time Magazine by Matthew Barakat, April 29th, 2023. A federal judge on Friday rejected a motion from Google to toss out the government's antitrust case against it. U.S. District Judge Leonie Brinkema ruled the lawsuit alleging Google wields monopolistic power in the world of online advertising can proceed in its entirety. Her ruling is the second setback for Google at the federal court in Alexandria. Google had earlier tried to get the case consolidated with a similar lawsuit that's been ongoing for several years in New York, but Brinkema ruled last month that the case can proceed in the Alexandria courthouse, which is known as the Rocket Docket for its reputation for adjudicating disputes swiftly. The lawsuit alleges that Google holds a virtual monopoly in an online advertising that works to the detriment of consumers. The complaint alleged that Google, quote, "corrupted legitimate competition in the ad tech industry by engaging in systematic campaign to seize control of the wide swath of high-tech tools used by publishers, advertisers, and brokers to facilitate digital advertising." Google argued that the case should be tossed out, in part because the government defines Google's alleged monopoly too narrowly. Google's lawyers contend that the lawsuit does not account for advertisers' ability, for example, to advertise on huge social media platforms like Facebook and TikTok that run their own advertising platforms independent of Google. In court papers, Google made an analogy to an unsuccessful antitrust lawsuit against Live Nation, a concert promoter that owns and operates a large number of outdoor amphitheaters. This lawsuit alleged Live Nation held a monopoly on amphitheaters, but a judge ruled that the plaintiffs failed to prove a monopoly in part because they did not take into account reasonable alternatives to amphitheater venues like indoor concert halls and arenas. Brinkema said that the question of how to define the market in which Google allegedly holds a monopoly will be a key issue in the case. But she said that at the preliminary stage, the government's allegations are plausible enough for the case to move forward. The government's burden of proof, though, will increase at trial. After the hearing, Google issued a statement from Dan Taylor, its vice president of global ads, saying that the lawsuit, quote, "ignores the reality of today's dynamic digital advertising space, where we compete against hundreds of companies like Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, and TikTok." The statement said the lawsuit would, quote, "slow innovation, raise advertising fees, and make it harder for thousands of small businesses and publishers to grow. A number of states, including Virginia, California, Colorado, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, and Tennessee, have joined in the case as plaintiffs against Google. The next article is called "The Next Challenge for Musk's SpaceX," explaining what happened to the Starship. Time Magazine by Jeffrey Kluger, April 24th, 2023. A beautiful machine came to an ugly end on April 20th when SpaceX's sleek, silvery, 40-story tall Starship rocket consumed itself in an orange and white fireball just 4 minutes after launch and 39 kilometers or 24 miles above the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Texas. As maiden voyages go, it was not pretty. In the days since, much virtual ink has been spilled, both applauding the launch and condemning its failure. Quote, "Congrats to at SpaceX on Starship's first integrated flight test," tweeted NASA Administrator Bill Nelson. "Every great achievement throughout history has demanded some level of calculated risk, because with great risk comes great reward. Looking forward to all that SpaceX learns to the next flight test and beyond." Jeffrey Kluger also chimed in, calling the explosion, quote, "no big deal" in his analysis for Time, pointing to serial crashes and explosions as an unavoidable part of the rocket design business. That fly and fail approach, Kluger argued, helps identify problems well before a new rocket carries a payload or crew, making the vehicle more reliable and, much more importantly, safer. The rest of the Twitterverse wasn't as sanguine. Quote, "This wasn't a calculated risk. This was rushed. This was careless." "Absurdly misplaced, ignorant jubilation," some tweets read in response to media outlets in the UK echoing Nelson's positive spin. But whether the Starship explosion was a, quote, "successful failure," as some have dubbed it, or a failure period, the causes of the incident have still to be determined. That question must be answered soon if SpaceX hopes to launch another Starship in anywhere close to the next few months, the SpaceX founder and boss Elon Musk promised in a tweet immediately after the aborted flight. Musk's tweet barely had time to go public before the Federal Aviation Administration announced it was temporarily grounding the entire Starship fleet. Quote, "An anomaly occurred during the ascent and prior to the stage separation, resulting in a loss of the vehicle," the statement read in part. Quote, "A return to flight of the Starship slash Super Heavy vehicle is based on the FAA determining that any system, process, or procedure related to the mishap does not affect public safety. Clearing that FAA hurdle will require SpaceX to take a deep dive into the telemetry, a recording, that streamed down from Starship during its brief flight. This much is clear. Of the 33 engines that power the rocket's first stage, flight video reveals that at least 8 failed to fire. In a February 9th static fire test, during which the engines were ignited with the rocket anchored to the ground, 31 of the 33 worked as planned. Quote, "The team turned off one engine just before start and one stopped itself, so 31 engines fired overall, but still enough engines to reach orbit," Musk said via Twitter about the static fire test at the time. "That may be true when 31 engines are firing, but not a mere 25. Had the Starship's engines worked as planned last week, the first stage would have been separated and fallen back to Earth at a 3-minute point of the flight, leaving 9 engines on the second stage to carry the rest of the spacecraft to space. Instead, it was at that point that the rocket went into an uncontrolled tumble that lasted for a full and harrowing minute. At the end of that minute, the rocket blew up." The explosion itself was no accident. In a post shortly after the flight ended, SpaceX announced that its flight termination system, or FTS, essentially a self-destruct mechanism to prevent danger to the people or structures on the ground, destroyed both stages of the rocket. The company did not reveal whether the FTS was triggered automatically by the out-of-control tumbling or whether it was manually activated from the ground. Starship is not remotely alone in being equipped with an FTS. Indeed, the FAA requires the system in all rockets before it will allow them to fly. The loss of the rocket itself was not the only harm done that day. The launch pad suffered serious damage as the bowling ball-sized chunks of concrete were broken loose and flung about from the force of the engines that did ignite. As the New York Times, Texas Public Radio, and others reported, in Port Isabel, Texas, a city 6 miles from SpaceX's Boca Chica launch site, buildings shook, at least one window shattered, and a cloud of sandy debris rained down on residents and their homes. Quote, "It was truly terrifying," Port Isabel resident Sharon Almaguer told the Times. Other SpaceX launches from Boca Chica have caused some rumbling in the town, but this was on a completely different level, Almaguer added. SpaceX is not pretending that solutions to all of the problems that arose on April 20th will come soon. And after-action reports and repairs like the one the company is faced with are typically slow, painstaking affairs. Quote, "I look forward to hearing the outcome of SpaceX's incident investigation, or at least what changes they'll make for the next attempt," says Scott Pace, a professor at George Washington University's Space Policy Institute. Why didn't the Starship second stage separate as planned? Why did a few engines fail on the booster phase? What will be done to mitigate launch area damage on future missions? All good questions, and there are others too. The second stage of the rocket didn't even get a chance to try flying after all, so there's no way of knowing yet if there are design flaws buried within it that'll be revealed only on subsequent tests after the problems in the first stage are worked out. And if 25 engines can do the kind of damage they did to Port Isabel, what will happen when the full complement of 33 do successfully light in tandem? Especially since, with even just a portion of its engines burning, Starship's April 20th flight still made it the most powerful rocket ever launched. For now, SpaceX is keeping its head down, trying to solve its problems, make its repairs, and satisfy the FAA, which holds the ultimate leash on future Starship flights. There are many who continue to believe the company has the wherewithal to do that, and that Starship has a bright future. Quote, "This was a test flight," says astrophysicist Pascal Ehrenfrond, a professor at the George Washington University Space Policy Institute. During the development of a disruptive launcher, setbacks are anticipated. The investigations will reveal when a next test flight will be possible. There will certainly be a next test flight, and hopefully Starship becomes a commercial reality. You've been listening to Technology and Arts on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Harsh Madaik saying goodbye from Owl Radio.